This is an interview with Governor Victor Atiyah at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is February 16th, 1993, and this is tape 24, side one. After the election of Walter Huss to head the party, Secretary of State Norma Paulus and Treasurer Clay Myers and others talked about setting up a new candidate financing organization, the state checkoff money would still go to Hess. Wouldn't that in itself give Hess a lot of power? Doesn't money equate or translate into power?
But yeah, except he didn't get that much.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, I always we're going.
Yes,
I've always opposed public money for political parties or candidates. I think that's a terrible way to go, and the same thing with the federal election. But what they were talking about was an offshoot of what we actually had going before Huss took over the party. One of the things I wanted to get done, and worked very hard at it, I'm now trying to make the party stronger, was to get people to give to the party and the party would give to the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard to do. You get, you know, individuals to do that. To get PACs or lobbies to do that is very difficult because they want to directly give it. They say, Vic, I represent XYZ and I want to give you some money. So to get them to give it to the party is really very difficult. Well, we had begun to work this Candidates Assistance Committee through the party, and I was on it, or chair of it, and Roger Martin was, and we had some others selected, creditable people. And little by little, we finally got the lobby to begin to do that, which I thought, this is great. This is the way it ought to be. This is what the strength of the party. Actually, just before Huss took over, and it looked like the handwriting was all over the wall, we gave all that money out, so Walter didn't have his, get his hands on it. But what they were talking about, Norma and Clay, was an offshoot of that thing which we had going. It was outside of the party now rather than inside, which is where I thought it ought to be. We've never reinvented it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
They had a candidates assistance committee, but they could never raise enough money to do any good, and they were always squabbling among themselves, as, you know, the litmus test for the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work.
Was there any kind of effort at that point then to make a change in the party to make sure that Huss didn't get back in later on, or that you had somebody or something?
No, I didn't. Again, I've never been a real active participant in party work.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, today I'm a national committee man. I'm a precinct committee man. Not a very good one, but I'm a precinct committee man. But I just, you know, it's not a swing of thing that I really got involved with.
Mm-hmm.
It's working that hard within the system. Others, I can hope I could induce them to do that, but it's not something I would do myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some talk after I left as governor to run for chair of the party, probably I could have won. Just not something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did tell my friends, I said, you know, they proved it works. So if you want it to work for yourself, you've got to go out and do what they did. Well, I guess the moderates or the liberals don't work that hard.
Well, going on to the general campaign, would you say that the major issues revolved around, or at least in the public eyes, around Measure 6 and 11?
That was an important issue. Whether or not there was a confidence in the way government was running. Were we spending more than we needed to spend, budgetary-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Was there good judgments going on in state government?
Mm-hmm.
Did the incumbent governor really understand what the problems were? I remember very late in the campaign, with a considerable amount of hoopla, the governor decided that he was going to go out and meet the people, which I found interesting. And finally, in August, I think it was, he was going to out, and he and Pat, and they got a motorhome, and they were going to just out talk to people, which is something he should have done 3 or 4 years before. And he had returned back to Salem after taking this 1 week visit with Oregonians. And I can recall I was going to a radio station in Roseburg, yeah. And the reporter was driving me there, and he was telling me that something just came over the wire service, and Straub had come back, and he said he was surprised how angry people were about property taxes. And I said, what? After 3 3/4 years as governor, he discovered they were unhappy about property taxes. And I remember that. I said, where's he been? And matter of fact, he gave me that thing off the wire service, and I have it.
Huh.
I kept it as one of my souvenirs. And you know, I'm reading back some of the speeches, and it's just a matter of he's a nice guy, but he just is not up to being a governor. I didn't quite put it in those terms.
There was a movement, I think a lot of people would say, that it was a conservative movement across the country. Governor Reagan was becoming more and more popular, and of course 2 years later he would run for and win the presidency. Some of those ideas in that movement seemed to reflect some of the things that you had said. Did you feel like you were at a part of that movement, or that it did reflect your views, or that you were a forerunner of what was later going to become the Reagan era? How do you associate with the trend that was developing at that time?
I'll answer one thing that was direct, and the other is more indirect.
Mm-hmm.
And we were again really trying to indicate to people the moderate position that I held. And Reagan had a political action committee, I've forgotten what it was, but they were going to give me some money. And we turned it down. And they didn't forget that after Reagan was president.
Really?
But we just didn't, you know, we just didn't, that was a little further right. Actually, Reagan, I think, did a super job in doing what needed to be done in this nation. I really believe that. But still, I would say to you, in classic terms of conservative, moderate, liberal, he was much more conservative than I am. I was more willing to deal with some of the things that were called liberal, if you will, aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think a Reagan would have gone for a land use bill or a bottle bill or something like that, or a lot of other issues that I dealt with. So that's where I was.
What about his general view on the involvement or the purpose of government to the people?
Yeah, well, and to that extent, sure. There's a lot of things that are similar. You know, he's Republican, I'm Republican, and that means less government interference in the lives of people. Strengthening local governments. I, as a governor, worked with cities and counties. I said, we're in this thing together. I'm not better than you guys are. We're in it together, and we'll work together. But that happens to be what I believe,
mm-hmm.
and why I don't like metro government, which we covered before.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm concerned about school reorganization, which we haven't touched on. But school reorganization, bigger was supposed to be better. And I'm saying, no, bigger isn't better. And a lot of the problems we had with budgets is because the school districts became anonymous. My son and daughter went to school. Raleigh Park was my school. Raleigh School was my school. Pretty soon it's part of Beaverton District 48. So, you know, it's not mine anymore. You know, I don't have that self-possession about it. But that's how I believe. It has nothing that I was emulating or seeing what his strategy was, or mm-hmm. that's, I was just being me. And being me was who I was. And I think most Americans really are in the same place. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I told you earlier when I lost in 74 that I really believed I was where Oregonians were. They just didn't know it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were was, sure, they wanted progressiveness, but they wanted to make sure that government was running well, that the tax dollar they gave us was being wisely spent. They didn't have that feeling or satisfaction, that government really wasn't trying to push them around.
What were you doing different this time in your campaign to show Oregonians that you were where they were at?
Not much different. They had a chance to see Bob for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and here I am, and there he is, and that he mm-hmm. served as your governor, and I want to be your governor. And he really hasn't done what you want done. Again, I didn't quite put it in those terms, but that, you know, the contrast was there. He served as a governor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just continued to be who we were. But they were all beliefs of mine. I'll tell you now I've been very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The desire for public office has never been so keen that I want to try to pretend I'm something that I'm not. And also it's a level of comfort for me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I've said many times I was blessed with a lousy memory because I couldn't tell a lie. Because if I did, I have to remember that so that I can document it later on.
Yeah.
But I can't, so I just be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time people would say, well, you said such and such. I know I couldn't say such and such. But I couldn't point to it. I just know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have said that. I'm just confident that there's no way in the world I could have said that because I know who I am. So there's that. It runs actually, I'm not sure at what point we really want to get into it, but it even runs through my 8 years as governor. Everybody's telling you how to do it, particularly the media.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really knew it. As a matter of fact, I don't think they know. Consciously, maybe some do, that if I really jump on this senator, house member, congressman, governor, president, whatever, they're going to change their ways. They can't stand the pressure. And I really didn't pay that much attention. I knew what I wanted to do. And, you know, I understood that it was everybody's right to say we don't like it. That's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew what I wanted to do. I had enough self-confidence and experience, business and government, that I think I said, I'm not sure I ever said it, but I know a lot more about this than you do, and I'm just going about
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very conscious about the tax dollar, and I believed, we talked about this, you know, some of the influence was LBJ, and you remember that discussion. But I really believe that we need to help people and we need to do things, but I want to do it. I don't want to talk about it. And there are ways it can be done. And so I really believed it. And it was part of me. So when you go out campaign, you know, these are the things you say, you talk about, and they struck a responsive chord with people because I think that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want an overbearing government. They don't want a government to tell them shoving around. Later on when I was governor and I had my staff meetings and somebody would report me to something, I'd say, that's dumb. You know, that says it all. It's dumb. Just not a way to go about doing business. And yet, on the other hand, as we talked earlier, you know, there are people in need and there are things that need to be done. And you've got to do them.
How would you characterize the debate between Measure 6 and Measure 11 in terms of how it reflected your views and Governor Straub's?
Yeah. I would say to you, first of all, I did understand 6. I don't think he did. And that's not being unfair, but remember I was on a tax committee for 20 years. So I understood it. I understood where the shortfall were there. As I told you, if I ever really was be somewhat embarrassed by what I did. No, I'm not really embarrassed. I said, well, that was actually Vicatia, where I said I was going to vote for 6. But if it passed, I was going to clean it up, was the term I used.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what cleaning up meant, what needed to be done to fix it. That was sort of a cop out, really. It was. I look back on it. Really, six was not something that should have passed. I didn't give it enough, except to say there were some defects and need to be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there was much leadership in trying to defeat it, mm-hmm. as I gave subsequent measures. That is, ballot type sixes to urge their defeat.
You were also opposed to more wilderness, and you've talked a little bit about that. Was that was Straub on the other side of that issue?
Yeah.
Then? And there was a controversy over the budget, of course. And you basically blamed Straub for doubling the budget.
Yes.
And critics said that the legislature actually controls the budget and that you had voted for the budget increases.
Well, it's hard to tell, you know, what you voted for. Mm-hmm. You know, they add up to a total budget. We're not like Washington, where they vote on a whole budget all at one time. We vote on pieces at a time, all of which adds up to a final budget.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I voted for budgets. I probably voted against some budgets. In that context, probably a good criticism. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, if I were on the show, it was going to be different. You know, that's what I was saying. Let's get back to wilderness for a minute.
Okay.
Because again, it represents my personal philosophy. There was, we have in Oregon, or had, I should say, a million acres already in wilderness, mm-hmm. already, while this discussion was going on. The question was not, you know, should there be wilderness or shouldn't there be wilderness? The question was, how much wilderness? And the thing that always disturbed me was that wilderness really, and those that were pushing for it, was designed really for young, healthy bodies that can go out there and appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a whole lot of people that would never be able to go out and appreciate it, or, you know, to see it, to enjoy it, to be a part of it. And I'm saying, that's not fair, that's not right. And if you can take something that has a definite environmental reason or ecological reason, I can understand that. But they were sweeping in a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of recent years, we've gotten the spot at all. I said, hey, wait a minute, okay. Tell you what we'll do. If you want 2,000 acres, prepare, that's fine. You can have 2,000 acres, prepare. Now give us 2,000 acres that you've got locked up in the wilderness. No. We want that and the spotted owl. And it's really a matter of a balance between the economic health of the state and that what that means is jobs for people who are raising families and buying a home and you know, want to live a good life. At the same time, protecting what we have. And I also resented the fact that the West, including Oregon, has an awful lot of public land owned by the federal government. When you start getting to the Midwest and the East, they have very little of it.
Mm-hmm.
So here are all of these congressmen and senators, they want to say, well, we're going to screw up our own environment, but we want that as a playground, leave it alone. But I said, there are people out here, we live out here. We want to have all the joys of other families. They don't quite see it that way. So I'm back to balance. When I became governor, and it was up to the governor to make a recommendation for more wilderness, and we had a study, went through the whole thing. I mean, it was a good study. I finally came up and recommended 25,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really paled in ridiculous because Carter was urging 400,000 acres. Hatfield got up to 600,000 acres. And when it all washed down, it turned out to be 1,200,000 acres. Mm-hmm. So now Oregon has over 2 million acres in wilderness, plus spotted owl, buffer zones for harvested trees, you know, a whole lot of it. There's, if you put, take all that, mm-hmm. Put that aside. And so to me, it was just a matter of balance. That's pure and simple. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. So when I approached the subject, you know, being against wilderness and for wilderness, it wasn't against or for, it was how much. I can recall being down in Grants Pass County Fair, and they were signing up, they wanted to put some certain area in wilderness. And I was talking to the young ladies and said, well, what's this? Well, this is a place of, well, I said, why do you want it? Well, we don't have any wilderness down there. Does everybody have to have a wilderness? You know, we don't have our wilderness. We ought to have ours. What do you mean ours? It's all in the context of the whole picture. We're the state of Oregon, but Douglas County wanted to have our, or at least those young people wanted their wilderness. I don't know what ever came of it, but I can recall that discussion.
Were there issues of yours that you considered to be more advantageous to your campaign, and other issues that you maybe fervently believed in, but were less popular, and maybe liabilities in certain, to a certain extent?
No. I will say that I urged the campaign repeatedly to make sure everybody knew I was a member of the National Rifle Association, and a lot of people were nervous about that. But I said, hey, that's who I am. I don't think we did too much with it, but I kept saying, hey, tell them. Let's be part of our material. And I don't necessarily win that one, but you know, a lot of people think the NRA folks are pretty nutty. Mm-hmm. But I said, that's who I am. We got to tell people who I am. You mean something I felt strongly about I didn't say anything about or make an issue of?
Well, no, I mean, I would imagine that that for a lot of candidates, at least, that certain issues are very, very popular, that they take a stand on, that happens to really help their campaign, and maybe other things that, because of their own convictions, they nevertheless, it's harder to get those views across to the people, so it drags on the campaign a little bit. Did you experience that in any area?
I can't think of really anything that would have been mentioned in NRA, but I you know, I go to high schools and they always ask the question about drinking age at 18 and right. Abortion.
Yeah.
And I was very clear about where I was on mm-hmm. the drinking age is just going to kill more people. And they say, well, I'm drunk and drive. Yeah, but drunk and drivers now, legally. Yeah. But I don't want to add to that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to add another group.
What about the Mount Hood Freeway controversy?
It wasn't a major issue. I was very strongly opposite view from Goldschmidt and Straub in regard to the Mount Hood Freeway. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a major. It wasn't a major issue out there. I tried to reverse it once I was elected and found out that it was just near to impossible to get that thing revived. And we'll get into that when we get into the governor, because that was early on.
Mm-hmm. Were you opposed to light rail?
No, I wasn't opposed to it, but I wasn't any ardent supporter out there. Mm-hmm. When, you know, we're going to push it through. If it was going to happen, okay. If it wasn't, okay. The one thing, once it became a reality, and that became part of the deal I was working on, that Goldschmidt wanted $16 million out of our general fund budget, and he wanted it all in one chunk. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that while I'm preparing my budget. I will do it, though. There was money that was set aside for the Mount Hood Freeway, mm-hmm. Which was in the Portland metropolitan area, dollars. Mm-hmm. You give me those dollars so I can use them around the state of Oregon for things that would be needed and to fix up I-84, which was a pretty dangerous freeway. Give me that money and let me do what I want to do, and then I'll put the 16. And then we got to bargaining a little when Goldschmidt said, well, we'll give you some small part of it. I said, no, I want the whole thing. So finally he agreed to the whole thing, and I said, okay, I'll put the $16 million in. So the point basically was, okay, there's the money, that gets light rail moving, it's okay with me. But at the same time, I know people are still going to get in their cars, and they got to do it safely. And there's a lot of need around the state of Oregon to fix highways, and so let's get that money and do that with it.
Mm-hmm.
So 84 improvement is part of that bargaining process.
Were there other major issues during the campaign, aside from the ones we've already talked about?
No. There were sort of general discussions on how one's going to run a government.
There was a controversy over the television debates, about over two television debates, and how to schedule them, I believe. Do you recall any of that?
No, that's all nonsense anyway. There's always that, when are we going to have it, where are we going to have it? I don't want it here, or you want it there. I consider it nonsense. The debates to me are not as important as people make them out to be.
Were there other debates?
Not bad, huh?
Were there other debates that you had at all? Did you go back to the city club again, just the two of you?
it's fascinating. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
I think
uh-huh.
we must have had. I know we had someone on radio. I remember that. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not opposed to them. I don't like to make big issues out of them. I wasn't fighting them, but, you know, both sides sort of, we want this and that, and who's going to ask questions, and can you question you, you know, all this other stuff. I'll leave that up to the campaign.
So how did the campaign progress then? I mean, what up to election day, how did you see it evolve?
I worked awful hard, I remember that. I worked very hard, traveled the state, campaigned really hard. Did a lot of traveling, a lot of late nights, early mornings. Some marvelous things occurred out of the whole thing. Things you remember. I was down in Lapine. No, it was Chemult. Anyway, down in that area, below. Early morning breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm talking to the group there. Photographer was there, and the front page of the paper was this picture of me talking, and he framed it perfectly with antlers, you know, antlers on those antlers on the wall coming out of my head. And so I said, I got to get a copy of that. So I do. I've got a copy.
Was that intentional, you think?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. But I just really enjoyed that. I think that was just marvelous. After having been all over, we went to Gunderson, shift change, and shaking hands. My name is Atiyah. You know, people coming and going, running for governor. And this was, I don't recall, Friday before the Tuesday election, right near the end. Young man, I'd been there for quite a while. Now he's probably, couldn't be many more left. I said, my name's Atiyah, and I'm a good vote. Oh, he said, I know. He said, and you've got my vote, and he said, and my family too. Young fellow. So I turned to the staff, I said, that's it. That's it. I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to campaign anymore. I'm going to stop right here. And that's all the campaigning I did. On election day, punch screen, said, what do you want to do? I said, let's go play golf. What? I said, it's punch. There's nothing more that I can do. I've done everything that I can do. Let's go play golf. Let's step back a little in September. Pendleton, the Pendleton Roundup and the Pendleton Roundup Parade. After it was all over, I called my office. I said, I want the election today, and I want it in Pendleton. It was just super. The sense of what I call penetration.
Mm-hmm.
That means that people that don't know you, that you don't know, are very responsive mm-hmm. and very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Not your friends, and you expect them to be for you. Or